the Lord. So, if you have a Bible, we're going to have a look at Psalm 37, verse 4 this morning. It's a very familiar verse. It's one of those verses that you may have a sticker on your fridge or something, or a plaque in your kitchen. It's one of those verses that is well known. And it's found in Psalm 37, verse 4. If you don't have a Bible, don't worry, because we have it up on the screen behind us. And there's a couple of other scriptures we're going to have a look at this morning as well. And I will display those on the screen as well. Lord, will you bless me as I speak? And will you bless your people as they listen? Cause them to hear your voice, Lord Jesus, rather than the voice of the preacher. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 37 says this: delight yourselves in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. When I read that verse, you could read it as just one sentence, as I have done. But you could also read it by breaking it up into three little sections. And the three sections are: delight yourself, section number one. Section number two: delight yourself in the Lord. Section number three: delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Let's have a look at section number one: delight yourself. Ah, sure, that's the age-old question. People, they want to know how to delight themselves. We live in a world where people pursue the delightment of themselves. I know, because I've done it. And I know that you've done it. There have been times in our lives, times in the lives of God's people and people who are not a part of the family of God, where they have set themselves out and they says, I want to delight myself. I'm going to find ways to delight myself. I want to be delighted. I want to be happy. I just want to be happy. People pursue delightment. They pursue happiness. It's the question that everybody wants the answer to. How can I be more happy? If you just told me, oh, wouldn't I be delighted? I just would want to know how to be happy. If you're happy, you're delighted. You're full of joy. And people, they look in different places. The places people go to find happiness, the places people do or find themselves in the pursuit of delightment, it could be a variety of things. It could be sex, drugs, rock and roll. It could be those things. For others, it could be a relationship. They think to themselves, hey, if I'm in a relationship with this person, surely I'm going to be happy. Surely I'm going to be delighted. For others, it's not the relationship. It's not sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It's a career. It's employment. They think to themselves, if I get this job, sure, I'm going to be happy. I'm definitely going to be delighted. It's all found in the job. And then for others, it's not the job. It's not the relationship. It's not the music. It's not any of those things. It's the house or the car or the kitchen. I want bigger stuff. I want better stuff. If I have a new kitchen, if I have a new car, if I have a new iPad or a new phone or a new possession, sure, then I'll be happy. And I'll only ever be happy if I get those things. Sure. Truth is, that's not true. You won't be happy if you get those things that you want. You think you may be happy, but here we'll have a look at a couple of stories where people wanted something and they thought, if I get it, I'll be happy, but they weren't happy. Anyway, long story short, do you remember a woman called Margaret Thatcher? Margaret Thatcher was the previous Prime Minister of Britain. She was known as the Iron Lady. And it just so happens that somebody asked her this question. Margaret, how do you delight yourself? What makes you happy, Margaret? Now, one could think of many answers that she came up with. She could have said, yes, making all the big decisions in government, that makes me happy. But she didn't say that. She could have said, making loads of money and the big salary that I get because I'm the leader of the country. She could have said that. She actually gave a peculiar answer. When somebody asked her, how is it that you delight yourself? What is it that makes you happy? Do you know what she said? She said this. Taking the fluff out of the dryer. That makes me happy. Like, when I heard that answer, I thought, surely she couldn't be happy with taking the fluff out of the dryer after she's done her washing. Like, Margaret, surely there could be other things that make you happy. But no, the story goes that the answer to that question for her was, it wasn't in the big stuff. It wasn't in the big decisions. It wasn't in the big salary. It was rather in the small, ordinary things of life. Once she did her washing, or once somebody did her washing, she took the fluff and she found delightment in that. And I suppose, what is it that I am saying? That sometimes it's in the ordinary things in life. It's in the simplistic things of life that we find delightment. It's in the raising of children, looking at the sunset come up in the morning, looking at the birds and the trees, the simple and the ordinary. Don't ignore the simple and the ordinary things of God. Sometimes you may think to yourself, I want the extraordinary, I want the miracles, I want to see. Yes, and it's good to have a heart for those things, but don't neglect the simplicity and the ordinary things of God, for you sure will find delightment in them. And what about those who would seem to have it all? There are those who would seem to have it all. And you'd say to yourself, well, surely they must be delighted. Do you remember the story of the rich young man? Now, I'm telling you, if there was one that would surely be delighted, it's got to be him. The story goes in Mark chapter 10 of a story of a rich young man. And it says this. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And he said to him, teacher, all these I have kept from my youth. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, you lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. When I think to myself about this guy, I think to myself, you know, people may look at you and think, surely you're delighted with yourself. You know, you have it all. You've got youth. You see, if you have youth, you have youth and you have youth and you have youth. There's loads of you that have youth this morning. If you have youth, you have energy. And if you have youth, you have energy, you have vitality, you have spontaneity. Hey, because you're young. Do you remember when you're young? When you're young, you're here, you're there, you're everywhere because you're young. When you're young, you have a lot in your heart. You have energy. And not only was this guy young, but he was rich. Oh, this fella, he had a few quid. In fact, he had more than a few quid. He was rich. So what more could you want? I'm sure he was thinking to himself, I'm delighted with my life. But he wasn't. You see, the truth of the matter was, even though he was young, and even though he was rich, and even though he had a lot of possessions, there was a need in his life. You see, the story goes that he knelt before Jesus. He was on his knees. He says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? You see, with all that he had, he didn't have heaven. With all the money and possessions that he had, he knew that he was lacking something. So that's why he went to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, as the story goes, go and sell. Go and sell, yes, and give everything you have to the poor. And the story goes that he went away sad. I think to myself, why did he go away sad? He had so much. And then I realized, actually, yes, he did have so much, but what he had, had him. You see, the possessions and the money, they had a power over him that he was unable or unwilling to let it go. When I think about that man, I think to myself, well, surely he must have been delighted, but he wasn't delighted with everything that he had. The rich young man. Do you remember the story of the other young fella? The other young lad that we have spoken about many times. The story in Luke chapter 15. There was a younger son. And you would think to yourself, now here's a guy, I bet you he was delighted. The story of the lost son says this. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had. He set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and he hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his friends to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Do you know the one thing that really struck me about that story? We've read that story so many times. Was the attitude of the younger son. He said to his father, give me. It wasn't, can I have? Rather, it was, give me. Daddy, 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 give me, give me, give me, give me, give it to me now, give it to me, give it to me, give it to me. I want the money, show me the money. He wants the money because he thinks to himself, if I have the money, then I can get out of this house and I'll be delighted. Once I'm out of the house, I'll be delighted. I won't have my father looking over my shoulder and I won't have my older brother give me a dig every now and again. I'll be delighted if I just have the money. And so he gets the money and he thinks to himself, now that I have the money, I can go where I want. I'll be delighted. And so he goes where he wants and then he spends his money on what he wants, on wild living. And then he thinks to himself, hey, I can go where I want, I can do what I want, I can spend my money on what I want, and I'll be delighted. Oh, life will be so delightful. I'll be delighted. You would think. But he wasn't delighted. He was delighted for a time, for a season. And then all the money that he had was gone. He had loads. He spent it. And it was gone. And the sadness of the story is that he began to be in need. The younger son, you would think, would be delighted. But he wasn't delighted. The rich young man, the younger son of Luke chapter 15, you would think to yourself, hey, there's two people that surely they must be delighted with their lives. But the stories tell us otherwise. Actually, they weren't. Section number two is delight yourself, not only delight yourself and serve yourself and do everything to make your life delightful, but the scripture says delight yourself in the Lord. It actually tells you where to delight yourself. If you're looking for to find how to be delightful in your life, the scriptures tell you where to find it, and that is in the Lord. And I was thinking about this. I was thinking, if somebody was to ask me, hey, Alan, how do you, or how does one, delight themselves in the Lord? And I was thinking, I know. Think of a young couple that's in love. Now, that might be you. You might be in love this morning. You may have somebody in your life that you look at and you think, I love them. Or there may have been a time in your life in the past when you were young and you were in love with somebody. But even if that's not you, think in your mind of a couple who is in love. They are romantically in love. The man loves the woman. The woman loves the man. You see, when you're in love, your heart's desire is to delight the one that you love. Because you think to yourself, if I delight her, not only will I be delighted that I delight her, but she will be delighted. And she, if she's delighted, I'm delighted. The two of us are delighted together. See, that's what happens when you're in love. When a couple is in love. If the man goes and buys her flowers, she'll be delighted. And he'll be delighted. And the both of them will be delighted together. He could actually go and buy her some Turkish delight. And then she'll be delighted because it's chocolates. And if she says something nice to him, like, you look well today, he'll be delighted. He'll be excited and delighted because she has said something kind to him. Are you getting the picture? A young romantic couple in love. I want to share 4 points about being in love. You see, when you're in love with somebody, one of the things that you will do is you will look into the eyes of the one that you love and you'll say these words. I love you. I love you. That's what people do when they're in love. They look into the eyes of the one that they love and with all vulnerability and with all romantic passion and with all in their heart and their soul, they'll say, I love you. And hopefully the other person says, I love you too. See, that's what you do when you're in love. You declare your love for the one that you love. Why? Because you want to delight the one that you love. Because you know if they are delighted, then you are delighted. And we're all delighted together because we're in love. You declare your love for the one you're in love. And so it is with the Lord your God. As you walk with him in a relationship of love, declare your love for him. You say, Lord, I love you. I love you with all of my heart. I love you for loving me. I love you for supporting me. I love you for providing for me. I love you for reaching down and picking me up. I love you. Lord, I'm in love with you. And my desire is to delight you. I want to delight you, Lord. I want to please you. I love you. You see, when you're in love, you declare to the one that you're in love with, you declare your love. That's what people do when they're in love. Have you ever been in love? Have you ever declared your love for the one that you love? Of course you have. Why? Because your heart's desire is to delight the one that you're in love. Point number two. You see, when you're in love, one person will say to the other, do you want to go for a walk? And then the other person will say, yeah, I want to go for a walk. You want to walk together. You see, those who are in love together, walk together. And the location isn't the main theme. You say you could walk with the one you love. It could be in a city, or it could be in the country, or it could be in a park. The most important thing is that you want to walk with the one that you love. I remember years ago when I started going out with Orla. We were going out together for a couple of months. And I was mad about her, you know. And so I said to her, do you want to go for a walk? And I was thinking to myself, like, a romantic walk, like, you know. Because I'm in love here, like, you know. I want to delight her. And I want to be delighted. And I said, do you want to go for a walk? He says, yeah, I'll go for a walk. So we went to the Phoenix Park. I thought, oh, that'll be a lovely setting. Be lovely and romantic. The trees and the birds and the grass. Oh, it's just going to be delightful. And so we went on this romantic walk. And so we're walking and we're talking. And next of all, she screams at the top of her voice and she runs away. And I thought to myself, no! What have I said? What have I done? Do I smell? What's gone wrong? This was meant to be a romantic walk in the park. Oh, what's gone wrong? And what I didn't know at the time is that Orla, she don't like mice. And she don't like the bigger version of mice. And she's seen a dead rat. And the minute she seen it, she scampered down the other direction. She screamed at the top of her voice. But see, that's what happens when you walk with the one you love. You get to know them. Don't you get to know the person that you love when you're walking with them? Not only when you're walking with them, you begin to talk with them. That's what you do when you're in love. You walk and you talk. And so it is with the Lord your God. When you're in a relationship with God, when you're in a romantic relationship, you declare your love. You say, I love you. And he'll say, do you want to go for a walk? And you say, I want to go for a walk. And when you walk, what do? You talk. We call it prayer. But you walk and you talk. That's all part of a relationship that's built on love. Why? Because you want to delight him. Because it's your heart's desire to delight the one you love. And so, you declare your love. You go for a walk. And sure, here, look, when you go for a romantic walk, what do? Sure, you take the hand of the one that you love. It's romance. Do you want to hold my hand? Okay, I want to hold your hand. Some people think holding hands has gone out, is old-fashioned. You know, I still hold my hand's wife sometimes when we're going for a walk. I say, hey, do you want to hold my hand? She'll hold my hand. And it's a sign of our loving relationship. You see, holding the hand of the one that you love is a love message. It's saying, I love you. I'm in relationship with you. I'm walking with you. You're with me and I'm with you and walking together. Why? Because we're in love together. I want to delight you and you want to delight me. Hey, I'm walking with you. And so it is with the Lord your God. As you live in a relationship of love, your heart's desire is to delight him. And so some of the things you may do is you'll declare your love for him. You'll walk with him. And you may say, Lord, I'm going to hold your hand. I'm going to place my hand into the hand of God. And I'm going to say, I want to walk with you. Walk with me, Lord. You see, the Lord your God is a God that likes to walk. Do you remember the Garden of Eden? When he walked in the cool of the day with Adam. And even when Jesus was risen from the dead, he went and he walked with the two on the Emmaus Road. You see, God wants to walk with his people. And when he walks with his people, it's a natural thing to do is to hold his hand. And so, you may hold the hand of the Lord your God. And point number four, lastly, is when you're in love and your heart's desire is to delight the one yet you love, you'll declare your love for them, you'll walk with them, you'll hold your hand. But the really thing that you're really aiming to do is that you want to know their heart. You don't only want to know what's in their head, you want to know their heart. Because if you're in love with the one that you love, your desire is to know their heart. You want to know what beats their heart, what gets their heart. It's all about their heart. You want to reach their heart. And so it is with God and his people. When you want to delight the Lord your God, as you delight in him, you declare your love, you walk with him, you place your hand into the hand of God, and you say to him, I want to know your heart. Because if I know your heart, not only do I know you, but I know that my relationship with you is being built through love. My desire is to know your heart. It's like a picture of a couple in love. It's like a picture of a couple that is romantically in love. They're walking together. They're declaring their love together. They're holding hands together. They're knowing each other's heart because it's at the heart of their relationship is love. It's like a love tale. It's like a love story. And those who delight themselves in the Lord are saying, I want to delight you because I'm in love with you. It's a walk of love. It's a relationship of love. It's where I place my hand in your hand, where I walk with you. When I know your heart, it's a picture of love. And that this story, or this, not this story, but this particular scripture has a promise that is attached to it. It says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. You see, it's a picture of love. He'll give you the desires of your heart. You see, he knows what your desires are. See, what happens is that as you walk with God, and as you declare your love for him, as you hold his hand and know his heart, his desires become your desires because you're in relationship with him. If his desires become your desires and your desires become his desires, he will grant you the desires of your heart because you're beginning to desire the things that he wants. And so therefore, he has no problem with granting the desires of your heart because you're in a romantic love of delightment. He's delighted with you. You're delighted with him. And so here is this picture of relationship. God knows the desires of your heart. He says, delight yourself in me, and I'll give you the desires of your heart. What are those desires? They're your desires. What is the desires of your heart? All you have to do is to continue to walk with God, where you're saying, Lord, my desire is to delight you. My desire is to find my delightment in you, not in someone else, not in something else, but my heart's desire is to find my own delightment in serving you, in walking with you, in being in a relationship with you. And as you do that, God says, I will give you the desires of your heart because the desires of your heart are the same desires of my heart. We're in a relationship together. And so it's natural to desire the things of God. So this morning, I'm going to ask you two things. One is that you would say to the Lord, Lord, I want to find my delightment in you. I'm going to find my delightment in you. You are the delightment of my heart. I'm going to seek my delightment in you rather than in other places or in other people. Would you be willing to say that to God this morning? And the second thing is to place whatever desires are in your heart, is to place them into the hand of God. Would you be willing to do that? To say, Lord, the desires of my heart I bring before you. And I place them before you. And I give them to you. And then whenever is the appropriate time for you to give me my heart's desire, I will wait on you for you to fulfill that deep need. And so this morning, would you be willing to respond to the Lord in those two things? Say, Lord, I'm going to delight myself in you. That's my heart's desire, is to find my joy, my wholeness, my completeness, my delightment in you. In you. That's where it's at, Lord. And I also, at the same time, say, Lord, I give you the desires of my heart. And I wait upon you to fulfill them. I wait upon you to grant them to me. And so, this morning, respond to the Lord your God. Speak to him quietly in the privateness of your own heart. As the music plays, do business with God this morning.
Song of love.
Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. God is a giving God. He gives you the desires of your heart. So commit your heart to him. Place before him all that is in your heart. And find your delightment in him alone. Take your delight in him alone.
There's no place I'd rather be than in your arms of love, than in your arms of love, holding me still, holding me near, in your arms of love. that you've called me your own. There's no place I'd rather be than in your arms of love, than in your arms of love, holding me still, holding me of love.